Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio.
Okay. That's weird. Never had that happen before. Just a second here. Okay. Oh, well. That was certainly bizarre. But hey, welcome to the 6th day of April, 2016. Oh, my God. I hope it's not that interesting for the rest of the night. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is, that's where you go, among other things, if you want to be part of the rousing, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is Horn Chat. Nighthawk and Soapbox Geezer have wandered in, all, and they, of course, will be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has, being a third-stage guild navigator, folded space to become Man Cave. Yeah, and it's about 2 minutes past the hour. I just don't like weird little technical strangenesses like that. I just don't. Huh. 404 error on high quality. Try it over at whiterosesociety.org, Thomas. Yeah, well. No, I threw the second switch, and I threw the third switch. The fourth, fifth, and 19th. Just a minute here. Let me see what's going on. Oh, standby. Sorry. All right, let's try this again. I got 17 things going sideways at the same time. But could someone be so kind in the chat room as to tell me whether or not audio is reaching? I would appreciate it. It's been a busy day. And it's been a busy day in large part because of the, okay, all right, thank you. There's Bob, you're on, thank you. Mattress King, you're live, says Thomas. Oh, drop a bowling ball on your, right. Pick it up with an Oreck vacuum cleaner. Okay, great, thanks. The message is coming in, you're on, Bob, you're live. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Sylvia, I should be right there in just a matter of minutes. And thank you for letting me know, Harold. Harold says you're on. Oh, and by the way, I should mention that there are about 15 slots remaining in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society Challenge, which would be nice and what that means is the next 15 contributions that come in get expanded by, they get rounded up by $10, okay? So that means your 5 becomes 15, 10, 20, 20, 30, et cetera, for the next $150, which is awesome. That would be great because our fundraising deficit is around, we need to raise about $340. So that would be a huge help, a big help indeed. Okay, thank you, Darlene, up in Connecticut. I'm hearing you. Roberts is live in Australia. Good. We'd like to do our part here for in the way of public service. You know, there's no public service mandate upon internet broadcasters, but nonetheless, we do like to try to be helpful. So, before we go any further, in case you're making any vacation plans, consider. Consider Mississippi, would you?
We're Mississippi. We're proud of our southern values, magnolia trees, and hot days. Now, thanks to Governor Bryant, we have an oppressive law to match our oppressive heat. Here, you can march to the beat of your own drum as long as that beat harkens back to 1888. Visit one of our soul food restaurants and swallow your sense of humanity. Toast to being the state with the third highest teen pregnancy rate. Come dance your heart out without the fear of a gay man or lesbian showing you up. Paddle your way through semantics that justify discrimination. Explore nature with your nuclear family while explaining to your kids why being different is bad and why sex is scary. Soak up the fun in our national chain restaurants and stores before they pack up and leave. Walk amongst mansions previously inhabited by slave owners and now inhabited by bigots. Explore our vast collection of books before we burn them all. And fish in the quiet solitude of knowing that you've been left behind by history. Visit Mississippi. We're even worse than North Carolina.
And thanks very kindly to the folks at Funny or Die for that all-too-realistic Mississippi tourism ad. Yeah, you can visit mansions once inhabited by slave owners and now inhabited by bigots. Yeah. Because, really, the Mississippi Religious Freedom Law, it makes North Carolina pale by comparison. And of course, North Carolina is beginning to pay an economic penalty for their stupidity. Yeah, and there are some big corporations in Mississippi. Will they put? Are there enough to put any pressure on the freaks and bigots there? I'm happy. It's a relative thing. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Forgot about that part. I'm relatively happy because West Virginia had a religious bigotry bill, and at the last minute, the legislature, the teabagger, booger-eaten, birther, deather, ninth or tenther, bagger, toenail-clipping, toothpick club legislature decided not to pass it. It didn't even have to be vetoed. So we've got that going on Mississippi. Hoo-wee! Yeah. Look, we take our victories where we can find them. And thank you very kindly to Charlene. Thank you, Charlene, for getting us started on fundraising this evening. We now have only $310 to go in fundraising, thanks to Charlene and the extra $10 courtesy of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Isn't that nifty? Yeah. So 14 to go, 14 slots in the membership drive for the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. There are no certificates suitable for framing, just an extra $10 on your contribution. All right. It is, of course, Wednesday here. And probably, it's Thursday in Australia and Japan. Right, but it's Wednesday here, And, of course, Wednesday means something far more than just the middle of the week or hump day or downhill to Friday. No, it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sisters. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is prayer meeting Wednesday. And I tell you what, we had a lovely dinner down in the fellowship hall. The little old blue-haired ladies kind of took it a little easy on themselves. Because every now and then they have a hot dog supper. And they make up a batch of that blazing yellow hot dog slaw and get the good potato chips. Yeah, yeah. They worked up a little bit of carrot salad along the way because you got to grind up some carrots for the hot dog slaw. They worked up some carrot and raisin salad, a little pineapple in there. Oh, mercy, it's good. Awful good. And then, of course, for dessert. It was just plain yellow cake with some dense dark chocolate icing on it. And oh mercy, I tell you, the deacons took to that like you would not believe. And after they'd wiped out the yellow cake down to the, not that kind of yellow cake. This is good yellow cake. This didn't come from Niger. They trundled their massy bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they've been spoken with the sinners. But on a secret hand sign from me, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, Sister Carol, took the cattle prod up and drove them back out of the parking lot, down through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated buttermints, and they are waiting down front for us to fire up the offertory hymn, courtesy of the Minister of Music, who we're going to call forward now to lead us in said offertory hymn, with every head bowed and every eye closed, except the one you keep squinted open just a little bit to keep from getting cronked in the head with that offering plate, because the damn things are heavy. But they got a red velvet liner and a button down there that says PayPal, and just remember, as we go forward, the secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will happily increase your offering, your love offering, by $10. So, as we call the Minister of Music forward, dig deep. Don't pray. Ain't no praying around here. And pay attention, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Amen. Hallelujah.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, brethren and sistren. Ha! Glory, glory, glory. I am calling upon you now. Yes, I am. Indeed, I am here just as I am. I'm a calling upon you. Oh! To get up off of your seat and onto your feet and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Ha, glory, amen, praise his holy name. Fall upon your knees. At the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the heck glory server on high. Amen, amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense in the far hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia Stan. And we have a Bible reading with which to begin our service, our Bible study, our prayer meeting this evening. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren. If you will all turn in your Bibles, which you do not own, good for you, to Matthew chapter 19 and work your way down to verse 14, where you will find written, "But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Glory, hallelujah, amen, and amen, worlds without end. Brethren and sistren, and it is so important in our dangerous and devil infested time. It is so important that we make sure to live the teachings of Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Now, in the New American Standard Heathen Bible, which is not the King James Bible, which is the real Bible of God, in the New American Standard Bible it says, "But Jesus said, let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Yeah. Well, at least one man of faith was putting that into action out in Texas. Yes. Willie Lee Bell, age 29, is the youth pastor at First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he wanted the little children to come unto him. In fact, the authorities say that he lured a little children to come unto him. A little child about 6 years old. First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill youth pastor Willie Lee Bell, age 29, lured a six-year-old back behind an apartment complex where, in the name of Jesus, and you know how this works out, where he sexually molested the six-year-old. And brethren and sistren, how glory, there are sinners everywhere, and a bunch of sinners attacked First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill youth pastor Willie Lee Bell. They attacked him and took to whomping on him and a whooping him and a beating on him until they called the police to come and continue the persecution of this man of God. Now, here's the problem. He apparently has he really, really wants to minister real hard to the little 6 and 7 year olds. Because back in February, he was implicated, as it were, in the sexual assault of 2 other children aged 6 and 7. The mother of the latest child said her baby was playing outside with other kids when 29-year-old youth pastor Willie Lee Bell Jr. of the First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill got him to come back behind a building. Yeah. Now that's Texas. Back in Tennistan, he's also been accused of sexually abusing children. Back in Tennistan, he was accused of showing pornography to a young'un there. And because the people who saw it happening decided to open up a can of whoop-ass on youth pastor of the First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill, Willie Lee Bell, age 29. Well, Mama said, if it wasn't for them, he probably would have done more to my child. Fox 4 in Dallas contacted the First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill, and they said they're cooperating with the police. Uh-huh. And I imagine they've also lawyered up. What does God need with a lawyer? Sorry, that's our first tangential obligatory Star Trek reference of the evening. So to review, this man of God exposed a child, at least a child, to pornography in Tennessee, and having departed Tennessee, went down to Texas, you know, just like Davy Crockett, where he has now sexually abused or assaulted 3 more children. Because why? I'm kind of mystified here. How is it? Well, okay, he's a youth minister, so. So did the First United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill not know or not even do a background check on 29-year-old youth minister Willie Lee Bell Jr.? No, they just put their faith in God that he wouldn't send them a pedophile to be their youth minister. Because, I mean, it's not like that's something that happens all the time. I mean, we accept, well, you know. Uh-huh. That's Texas. Then there's... then there's Pennsylvania. Yeah, I agree. I agree. The angry Indian says Willie Lee Bell Jr., age 29, youth pastor of the First United Church of United Methodist Church of Cedar Hill, is a sick bastard. He is. He absolutely is. The problem is Christianity has this thing whereby sick bastards tend to get loose inside their organizational structures. So meanwhile, over in Pennsylvania, KDKA-TV is reporting that it's that federal prosecutors are still pondering, mulling, if you will, whether or not to file RICO charges against the Roman Catholic Diocese of Altoona, Johnstown. Because, you see, the way this one started was the Reverend Joseph Maurizio Jr. was busted for molesting two children during missionary trips to Honduras, and he was prosecuted, and he was convicted. But the authorities kept investigating, kept digging. And then they found this. Two former bishops of the Altoona Johnstown Diocese were accomplices too, in that lawyery language, covering up the sexual abuse of hundreds of children by more than 50 members of the Roman Catholic clergy in the Altoona Johnstown Diocese over a period of about 40 years. Now, the federal statute of limitations has passed for a great deal of these predatory sexual crimes, these crimes of violence, these crimes of power and control perpetrated by ministers of Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So nothing can happen, really. But U.S. Attorney David Hickton has said that he and his group of prosecutors are researching into the racketeer-influenced corrupt organization statute, which has no statute of limitations, Attorney Hickton said. The reason we're looking at this is that we have a federal tool here in civil RICO that may put us, and I emphasize may put us, in the position where we could do something. I don't want to speak to what we're specially investigating at this point. But we've been looking at this since before that grand jury report came out, and our investigation is ongoing. Of course, you might recall that the RICO statute was for years used to deprive otherwise innocent people of things like homes and cars on the most tenuous of proof that somebody had gone and bought a joint or smoked it in the house. The next thing you know, you got innocent people who are out on their asses and having their homes, their cars, their possessions sold on the steps of the courthouse. With the money going to, you know, the government. It would be nice. You know, the RICO statute was originally put in place for purposes of dealing with the mob. It would be nice if maybe the Altoona Johnstown diocese could be taken down, you know, like the mob, because for all intents and purposes, a church organization that becomes a little more than an enabling station for the rape of children probably doesn't need to be in business anymore. But of course, there are those out there that say, "Well, that's they did good works too." Okay. And that's just one little diocese. Happened all over the country. And as our offertory hymn notes, and it's all tax-free. 50 priests. 50 members of the Roman Catholic clergy. Over 40 years, hundreds and hundreds of children who had their childhoods stolen from them. Wow. Wow. Well, the peace that passeth all understanding, right? Mm-hmm. I ran that satirical tourism clip about Mississippi at the beginning of the program because, of course, Mississippi's governor, Phil Bryant, proudly signed into law a religious hate bill that lets businesses and organizations and government officials, it lets them openly engage in discrimination against people that they decide might be gay. Because thus far, we still don't have any law. I don't know. Maybe that's next in Mississippi. Maybe a little pink triangle you could sew on a piece of clothing or something to let everybody know that you're gay. So that then the Christians could discriminate. Because otherwise, the Christians are just left to, I don't know, discern through prayer or philosophy or prophecy or the gifts of the Holy Spirit who's gay and who's not. So that then they could refuse to, oh, I don't know, provide constitutionally mandated government services, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, this thing really is even nastier than what North Carolina passed. And he sat there at his desk and he smiled, he signed the bill into law, and he was a smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. Yeah. Never content to simply parrot the hate of other states, Mississippi had to make their bill even nastier. people can be denied products and services, you know, just like they used to be, people of color used to be able to be denied products and services there in Mississippi, Stan. These evil fucks. Phil Bryant issued a statement. I'm signing HB 1523 into law to protect Sincilla-held religious beliefs and moral convictions of individuals, organizations, and private associations from discriminatory action by state government or its political subdivisions, which would include your counties, cities, and institutions of hallooning. This bill merely reinforces the rights which currently exist in the exercise of religious freedom as stated in the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. This bill does not limit any constitutionally protected rights or actions of any citizen of this state under federal or state laws. It does not attempt to challenge federal laws, even those which are in conflict with the Mississippi Constitution, as the legislature recognized the prominence of federal law in such limited circumstances. Limited. The United States Constitution only trumps the Mississippi Constitution in limited circumstances. Legislation is designed in the most targeted manner possible. Oh, it's targeted, all right. To prevent government interference in the lives of the people from which all power to the state is derived. Yeah. And as an added bonus, Mississippians may now discriminate against transgender people and make sure that nobody can do anything about somebody who says, I don't want to sell you a bag of beans because you're wearing the wrong clothing. Where do you pee pee? That's how bad it is. All done, of course, in the name of the Prince of Peace and the grace that passeth all understanding of Christ Jesus. Yeah, I know. It was a great dinner in the fellowship hall, and you get to stories like this, and the little ones, and it makes keeping Din Din down a little bit difficult, don't it? Yeah. So naturally, the religion industry, the evangelical fundamentalist homosexual religion industry, has come to the defense of Phil Bryant and the bigots of Mississippi. Maybe we should rename. Maybe that's what they should rename the University of Mississippi athletic teams to. They need a new mascot. You know, the Ole Miss Bigots. Have some guy walk. Well, no, don't even need a costume for that, do you? So enter that proud son of Stanford, Brian Fisher, of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan. And he can explain to us all just exactly what the new religious hate bill entails and the history and the heritage of it. Yes, you might want to get the hockey puck, and a couple of extra strips of duct tape too, because otherwise you're liable to just chomp right through it. Yes. It's that bad. It's real nasty. Vile, even. Well, that's funny. It was playing a little bit ago. Let's try it over here. Because this is some special stupid. This is some extra, I mean, this is some extra double plus good bonus stupid. Because, of course, it's coming from Brian Fisher. Now, don't be hiding, Brian. Hide not thy light under a bushel. You know, it could be that YouTube has pulled the video. They do that from time to time when Brian Fisher pisses and moans about how he's being having his stuff put up and his words shown for all to hear. There he is.
Phil Bryant of the state of Mississippi signed what is the best in the nation law protecting religious liberty. This is an outstanding bill. Don't believe all the bloviation that you hear out there in the mainstream media. They're calling this a homophobic bill and all that kind of stuff. This is a bill that provides religious protection from heterophobic bigots. This is an anti-discrimination bill. It protects people of faith. It protects people of conscience from invidious discrimination.
Yeah, not just any discrimination. Invidious discrimination, damn it. I understand, Gerald. Gerald says, Bob, you have to mash on that little old button there to get it to work. I know you're impressed with my text to Hillbilly Translation. That's damn fine. You keep that up, Gerald, and you might wind up with a job over to the Google or the Apple. Yeah. So I mean, you've got to engage you've just about got to turn your brain on inside out to get to where Brian Fisher is. Are you there with him? I know you can't really get there, can you? But he says that by passing a law that allows Christian bigots to discriminate against people that they've decided, because remember, like I said, nobody's wearing the pink triangles yet. Whether you're gay or straight is not, you know, something that, well... But the people who follow a teaching that says judge not that you be not judged, they're going to do some judging. Oh, yeah. What? Heterophobic bigots? Man, I tell you what, he got some goddamn mileage out of that Stanford education, didn't he? I mean, it's not just everybody can come up with heterophobic bigots. And it's not really heterophobic, is it? It's dickheadophobic bigot. It's assholophobic. Yeah, there we go. Wait. Homorectophobic. That would be asshole human. Yeah. Anyway, back to Brian Fisher.
Civil rights groups ought to love this thing. Remember Martin Luther King Jr. was all about protecting rights of conscience. That's what drove him, right of conscience and protecting the right of conscience. Martin Luther King Jr. would be ecstatic with this bill.
Somewhere the angry Indian has begun kicking furniture. Martin Luther King would be ecstatic with this bill. And, of course, there's no small amount of irony in the fact that this bill... was signed into law the day after the anniversary of the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. by a guy who, well, let's say he was just more ideologically on the side of this fuckwit than, yeah. Because that, you know, that was Dr. King's, that was Dr. King's method, and that was his message. Because he would have been absolutely okay if he had gone walking into a nice lily white Southern Baptist church and had the dogs and the fire hoses called on him because it was good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Baptist. Well, we don't allow your kind in here, boy. Praise Jesus. Yeah, because that would have just been them exercising their freedom of conscience. God damn. Not to put too fine a point on it, but it's moments like this, and it's people like Brian Fisher that kind of make me wonder if, I mean, and there's plenty of things that'll make you wonder that. But it's the Brian Fishers who make you wonder if this country really is just fucked past our ability to ever unfuck ourselves. Meanwhile, as the angry Indian notes, having taken a break from furniture kicking, they always like to use MLK. Right, because white privilege. Only a right-wing evangelical, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, fundamentalist, amosexual, pasty-faced, doughy white guy can truly comprehend the meaning and message of Dr. Martin Luther King, right? Right.
Protecting rights of conscience. That's what drove him. Right of conscience and protecting the right of conscience. Martin Luther King Jr. would be ecstatic with this bill. He would love this bill. Everybody that cares about civil rights and the First Amendment should love this bill because it protects people of Christian faith from bigotry, from hatred, and from discrimination.
Because that's what it is. If a gay person goes into a pet store and says, I would like to buy a little goldfish, that gay person is engaging in bigotry and discrimination against the Christian by wanting to buy a goddamn goldfish. These miserable pukes are so fucking weirded out that the light from fucked up won't reach them for a million years. They're so far past it. And see, while you hear that, and I hear that, we hear that, and we go, God damn, he's crazier than a sprayed roach. He's crazier than a palmetto bug at a decon party. In his mind, and the minds of the weirdos on that side of the Kulturkampf, it all makes perfect sense. See, yeah, we're just protecting ourselves from them heterophobic bigots which wants to, like, sue us for not wanting to give some homo, sell some homo an ice cream cone. Or a merge license. What this is at its core, and the reason that I think about this in terms of can we ever unfuck ourselves? Is that this is all just very thinly and inartfully veiled Nullification. Because after all the shilly-shallying and the wind addressing is done, what this boils down to is the state of Mississippi just told the United States to go fuck itself as far as gay people getting married is concerned. It's not like they'd be okay with it if somebody getting all gay married in Mississippi decided to get a gay caterer and a gay florist, and right? They're not okay with that.
They're going to protect the sanctity of one man, one woman marriage.
And you get it. And so they're attempting to nullify a Supreme Court ruling just the very same way that these ignorant fucks tried to resist the civil rights movement. Because, see, it doesn't work the other way. I don't like to traffic in stereotypes, and that's not what I'm doing here. But there are, I have no doubt, in the state of Mississippi, that there are, you know, gay caterers and gay florists. And see, those gay caterers and gay florists do not have, and specifically with this bill, are prevented from having the right to look at a bigot who seeks their services and say, "No, bigot, I refuse to do business with you because you're a bigot." Because this puts a mechanism in place whereby the bigot then can then turn around and put the caterer out of business for refusing to do business with a bigot. Isn't that just charming?
So this is a great bill, ladies and gentlemen. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe all the bloviation out there in the media. This is a great bill. It protects Christians from heterophobic discrimination and bigotry and hatred. Mississippi is now the safest place in America for the exercise of religious liberty.
Really? I wonder how Toyota's going to feel about that. Wonder if Hyundai, are they there? Are they there? Wonder how Ruby Tuesdays is going to feel about that. Or, well, you know, pick a national. There are American corporate chains that do business in Mississippi. And they will soon feel the brunt of the objection of people aggrieved by this miserable piece of shit bill. At which point in time, they will have to make a decision. Continue to do business in Mississippi and give tacit approval to an act of overt hostility to a class of absolutely innocent people, or leave. Third highest rate of teen pregnancy in the United States in Mississippi. Some of the lowest educational numbers in the entire United States in Mississippi. What do you want to bet they've got one of the highest concentrations of churches per square mile, however? Gerald pointing out, then those of us who actually understand the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment despise this new law.
Precisely.
Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, asks, can we unfuck ourselves and take away the one thing we're good at? Because we are past masters at that. Oh, yes. Yes, we are. Hey, nice little crowd has gathered in the chat room. Good evening to Jules and Laborman. As noted previously, Nighthawk and Soapbox Geezer got there first, along with Man Cave. Lottie's in. Good evening, Lottie. Stockton Larry has joined us. Texas T, Tim from L.A., Truth Seeker. And you two can come on by if you wish. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be right there. Right there. Sylvia with a note. On the topic of said state of Mississippi, a bill is going forward to allow guns in churches for members' protection. Yes. In fact, churches will then be able to create their own little militias. Militias. I don't know if that's M-I-L-I-T-I-A-S or M-A-L-I-C-I-O-U-S. It may be both. Randy asks, what if a Muslim walks in and demands that everyone has to wear a burqa or else she'll be religiously offended? Well, that's not covered by the religious bigotry law. Now, if it was a gay burqa, right. Tim says, so imagine this, a God-fearing hetero man wants to get a gun permit to carry or to get married to his high school sweetheart or, you know, his sister, but is denied either license because the state employee is a Jew or a Muslim, and because of their long-held belief, denies the permit because the man is neither kosher nor halal. Kosher nor halal. Now that religious right is now the law of the land. This is possible, isn't it? Again, wrong religion. Jack in Shreveport asks, so, could I refuse to serve somebody that's in the Southern Baptist Convention because serving a bigot is morally objectionable? No, they are protected under this bill because they're special. Under the subject line of, now, hold on a minute, Ron and Raleigh, who somehow managed to not Bob me for that, a few years ago, when the Mormons believed that folks looked like me bore the mark of Ham, wouldn't that mean this law would allow them to legally discriminate against me? We only left the Negra out of this law until we can figure out a way to include them. Precisely, Ron. It's the same thing. P.S. Why do white folks that wouldn't piss on MLK when he was alive always evoke his name? Because it makes them feel better. It makes them feel like they're not really racist as long. No, he's my MLK Jr. is my Negro avatar. And because he's been all Santa Claused up. You know, I mentioned that, last night? Night before? Maybe the national holiday should have been April 4th and not his birthday. So that we would actually have to confront and remember what really happened. And the tumult and the turmoil and the hatred and the bigotry and the viciousness and the poison. Oh, and thank you very kindly. Thanks, Kim, for jumping in on the fundraising plate passing this evening. We are now down to $265 to go with the additional $10 from the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. $265 to go, and whoa. Brother Deacon Asa. Noting, praise his name. has jumped in as well with a contribution of $66.66 Canadian, which I will now have to convert, and will convert during the break. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. So that'll take us down to probably somewhere around $200 to go for fundraising this evening. And that is a really big deal. A big deal indeed. So, as they say in the churchy places, here endeth the lesson. And, of course, this being conversation radio, we can engage in a little of same if you would like. You know, the number is 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 4676. And, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. So we'll take a little break, engage in some conversation, or I'll fill a Bobster for another hour. Remember, program's an hour short all this week because of me filling in for Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You're right. This looks like a great little bumper tune, Carole Baker. If I can get it to go, because apparently YouTube's not working on it. Hold on. We'll get there. All right. Break time. This is the horn.
Never been a time. There's never been a time. There's never been a time as fucked up as this. As fucked up as this. Get up. You probably didn't fuck it up, but whoever they are, they fucked it up. Now it's fucked up. I can't unfuck it up. Probably can't unfuck it up. And if we're counting on them to unfuck it up, then we're all fucked. Okay, now here's where you come in. You don't have to sing. Just turn to the person next to you and ask them nicely, did you fuck it up? Go on, ask them. How about you? Did you fuck it up? Now sit back and look at them and say, because you look like someone who could have fucked it up. Now it's fucked up. Now let's pick ourselves up off the floor and create a tone of camaraderie and ask, did you help unfuck it up? Say, are you really so fucking busy you can't take one fucking minute to help unfuck it up? Then lose the righteous asshole attitude and take a breath and say, because I'm willing to pick one thing to help unfuck it up. Won't you join me? Oh, that's better. Does it feel better? Yeah, I'm feeling the love. The problem is, the you just can't help feeling bitter that it's fucked up to begin with. You just go round and round like this. Okay, back with me now. I didn't fuck it up. Let it out. Come on. You know you feel it. You probably didn't fuck it up. You don't have to believe it. Just go with it for now. But that's right, shift the blame. They fucked it up. Now it's fucked up. That's right. Okay. Yeah, you're clapping, but the problem is deep down inside, you're feeling depressed and hopeless, right? We're just gonna change the world. What the hell happened? Okay, I got it. We're gonna come together for this one. I need your help. We're gonna fill this room up with love and inspiration, and it won't last past the time you leave here tonight, but everybody on this side, let's all unfuck it up. Okay, real loud and proud, let's all unfuck it up. Now you gotta keep going without me when I leave you. Here we go. Let's all unfuck it up. Doesn't that feel good? Keep it rolling. Now over here, you have a special part. It's a little repetitive, but it's fuck, it's fuck, it's fuck, it's fuck, it's fuck, it's fuck. It's fucked, it's fucked, it's fucked, it's fucked. Can you do that? It's fucked, it's fucked. Okay, middle, ready? I wanna be an unfucker. I wanna be an unfucker. That's right. It's fucked, it's fucked, it's fucked, it's fucked, it's fucked. Oh, yeah, really loud. One more time with all your heart now.
And don't you just want to be an unfucker? Because there's so many people working the other side of the street. Welcome to the Madcap Mary Zany real-time extravaganza of the chat room, Black Wolf. Black Wolf says, long-time listener, recent contributor, subscriber. I apologize for my truancy. No apologies necessary. Okay, and thank you very kindly. Just a minute. Sorry. Oh, a person from Porlock. Yeah. I was saying thank you very kindly. Got a note on something heading our way via the U.S. Postal Service. So that gets a membership in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, which means we're down to 140. Yay. That's huge. You know, we try to raise a minimum of $200. Sometimes it has to be more. But thank you. Thank you indeed. And a couple of things in the mailbag. Yes, I do. I do, Randy. I mean the chat room that people with Macs can't get into. I hate that. I really, really do. Let's see. Time to boycott, courtesy of Tim from L.A., leading manufacturing employers in North Mississippi, 2012. Ashley Furniture Industries, Lane Furniture Industries, Toyota Motor Manufacturing, Franklin Corporation, Cooper Tire and Rubber Company, MTD Products, Caterpillar Inc., American Furniture Manufacturing, Southern Motion, is looking for anything, Borg Warner, okay, Masterbuilt Products, United Furniture Industries, Kimberly Clark Corporation. Aren't they owned by the Koch brothers anyway? Hey, look, there's the Coca-Cola Bottling Company. Olin Corporation, Winchester Division. Oh, dear. Yeah, bullets. I don't think they're going to be that much aggrieved. No. Meanwhile, note coming in from Ray down in Florida. Money, money, money. I'd like to congratulate Panama for having so rapidly become so incredibly wealthy. Oh, I think there's just going to be more and more and more stuff coming out of those 2.4 terabytes of data, don't you? Wonder if anybody in the Clinton campaign is nervous. Nah. You know, nothing to be nervous about. We can do, it's all just legal, you know, it's all just legal here. Right? And we are now down to $80 to go in fundraising. Thank you very kindly to Alec in Portland. And courtesy of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, Jules, we are now down to $65 to go. Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. Wonderful. I don't know about you, but I try not to eat a big meal. Well, I mean, when I'm getting ready to do the program, I try not to eat a big meal before the program. Because it kind of, I just feel like it sort of slows me down. But damned if I don't have the munchies now. No, I didn't know. Not that. No. Yes. Thank you. GK asking, Bob, who sang the Unfucker song, and is it on YouTube? It's on the YouTube, and her name is Katie, Katie Goodman, Goodman, and it's called I Didn't Fuck It Up. I should have mentioned that. Thank you for the reminder. No, sometimes, you know, there's just something. Do you ever just get a hankering, a craving? Back when Agnes was bringing our little family into existence, she was consistent through her pregnancies. She craved seafood. She craved shrimp in particular. But I don't know. Sometimes there's just something that says, "Hey, I'd like. You know what I'd like to have? Pudding. Love to have me some pudding." And praise Jesus, you can have it in industrial amounts.
You're taking care of your family. You can stack them in your garage. You can put them in the basement. You can put them under your bed.
Yeah, I mean, in your closets, anywhere that you have space for it. Get creative and start stacking these in your home, keeping this food in your home accessible to you and your family.
Yeah. One of the things we've done around here, we stick them under coffee tables and end tables. You just stack them up and then put a cloth over them.
Yeah.
Or get a piece of, cardboard or a piece of plywood and you make a top. And then you just stack this food. You could have your whole living room with end tables and coffee tables made out of food buckets. Just do it.
Yeah. Then after that year as well, to the Middle East, you'll be sending 600 days of food. So that's 3 years of food for you and 600 days to the Middle East.
Now, if you can't do this whole year, over here we have a half a year.
Yeah, thanks to our good friends at Right Wing Watch who find this crazy shit. That, of course, was Jim Baker, home decorating with buckets of pudding. Ah, you could have your whole living room with end tables and coffee tables made out of food buckets. I use buckets in all of my decorating. No, no singing, damn it! Because they've upped the ante on this hustle. Now not only are you buying buckets o' tater soup and buckets o' puddin', you're sending poor little Middle Eastern Christians, you're sending buckets of pudding to the Middle East, at least in theory. Because it comes with a banner, stop Christian genocide, pledge for 12 months to send food to the Middle East. Now, I haven't yet figured out how that's going to stop Christian genocide. Yeah, me too, Carol Baker. I love me the bucket of pudding. Not so much. The pistachios, because it's green. Yum, under tooled leather. Ay, 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 ay. So, yeah, like I said, this is Conversation Radio. If you want to jump into the conversation, you are right more than welcome at 15 minutes past the hour. 304-574-8178, line 1. Line 2 is the stress line, named for the one, the only, the inimitable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Yes, and Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. I agree. Soapbox Geezer says, bucket full of dumb. Ain't that the truth? Oof. Oh, and by the way, one of the things that Jim Baker did not mention, but Carol points out, they double as the outhouse shitter when you're done. Of course, the chocolate pudding and the shitter are virtually, you know, indistinguishable. You know what? My craving has passed. Oh, God. Yeah. And, of course... I wanted to mention, sometime around 9:30 Eastern time, if you want to go and get it, over at ianmasters.com. I did an interview today on the Don Blankenship verdict with Ian Masters. He's quite a good interviewer. If you want to, like I said, ianmasters.com, you can get the interview. I'll be talking with some other folks about the Blankenship verdict, sentencing. Oh, well, I can't just let this one go by. Note from Jack in Shreveport. Speaking about the bucket o' pudding, referring to the pistachio, you said it's green, didn't you? That's a Star Trek ref. Scotty talking about Romulan ale or something in a bottle. No, the sentencing went down today, and surprise, surprise, U.S. District Judge Irene Berger, the daughter of a coal miner in her own right, threw the book at Don Blankenswine. She imposed the maximum sentence available to her on the misdemeanor of dodging safety regulations and incinerating 29 human beings. She sentenced Don Blankenswine to 1 year in Club Fed and a whopping $250,000 fine. I mean, that's it. That's all she could do. Pathetic. Just pathetic. Now, after the sentencing was done, the local media interviewed one of the family members of the victim, of three of the victims. This man lost three members of his family in a second. He says far better talking to WCHS and WVAH-TV. Tommy Davis says far better than anyone what so many thought today. In a minute. Yeah, no kidding, Carol. Don Blankenship paid that out of the money he kept stashed in his shoe. And yeah, hey, you know something else that's really hilarious? Because it's these little teeny tiny things that make it all so interesting. The $250,000 fine. He's going to get to write that off on his taxes. Unless there's an accountant out there who can tell me otherwise, I'm really pretty sure that Don Blankenship will get to write off the $250,000 fine. Isn't that just charming? So here's Tommy Davis.
Only brother, my go-to guy, my son Corey Thomas, which was only 20, the youngest one out of all of them, and my son Joshua, or my nephew Joshua from Ohio. I was talking to my other nephew at the man trip station when it all went down. This man has no remorse at all.
Tommy, what were some of the things that you were yelling as he was speaking? We couldn't really
hear him. Know who I was, because out of 6 years, he never approached none of us. He never told us he was sorry for what happened. And he knows he could have done the right thing. All he had to do was make one of them 40 phone calls a day he called checking on production to say shut it down and fix everything, but he refused to do it.
We can see you're kind of shaking right now. What's going through you?
There's just too much to say. I miss my family. He hugged his, and all he gets is a year, and she done great. She gave him what she could give him, but they need to be stricter, more harsh penalties for people like that who puts greed and money over human life.
What did you think when he went up in the court and said that he apologized to you guys?
It mean nothing. It didn't mean nothing, and it still won't mean nothing, because like I told him standing right there when he looked at me, he never come to me in 6 years, never come to my mom, my dad. It's gone now. They grieved herself to death. He never come and apologized to none of us. He never said nothing.
Would it have mattered if he did? Would it have changed her opinion
no.
on him?
He's still who he is.
Where's this frustration come from for you?
What? Huh? Did you hear the for-profit media question there? Where does this frustration come from for you? At that point, they're just trying to keep him talking. Where does this frustration come from for you? Now, he's just explained that he is alone in the world, that he lost his son, that he lost his nephew, he lost his brother, that he watched his mother and his father grieve themselves to death over the past 6 years, and Edward R. Mudhole over here says, where does this frustration come from for you? God damn.
He's still who he is.
Where's this frustration come from for you?
If you was where I was that day and you seen my son after laying in there for 5 days and seen what he looked like, if you worked on them men like we did when they come outside and you smelled them and you looked at them, then you know where I come from. You know what's here. Not much.
Tommy, you worked there as well, right?
Yes.
Were you there that day?
Yes, I was. I was in at the man trip station trying to early out. But I got to feel only a little bit what a whole lot of these men have got a whole lot of. And that man has no remorse for human life at all.
Everything he said is the unfly-blown truth. Yeah. Ron in Raleigh asks, hey, Bob, you think that oinker could get shivved in Club Fed? Oh, well, you can't always get what you want. Nah, it's Club Fed. You know, maybe Maxwell Air Force Base or maybe something a little closer to home out in Las Vegas. He'll spend a year raking sand or mowing, you know, raking up grass clippings or, yeah. No, he won't get shivved in Club Fed. You know, he might get a bad haircut. Jesus. And as much, you know, it's an insult to the dignity of the whole thing has been an insult to the dignity of the work of a worker. And as I often say in regard to other matters, it's not like this is going to serve as any sort of a deterrent. Jesus Christ, you turn 29 human beings into charcoal and all you get's a year in Club Fed and a $250,000 fine? Shit, that's not a deterrent to dummying up safety regulations. That's incentive. Yeah, Carol, I know. Don't you just love hard-hitting journalism like this? All we have to share is our misery. Yeah. All we got in common is our misery, Joe Kinnihan used to say. At least we can do is share it. But there will be another upper big branch. We don't know when, we don't know where, but we know there will be one. Not because that's just coal mining, but because that's just the coal business. That's just the mining business. Next time it might be 13 or 42. There are so many potential next times out there. Next time it might be a sludge dam giving away and just washing away thousands of people in a 40-foot tall rushing tide of toxic waste where any survivors will be left poisoned by exposure. But understand, it something like this will happen again. Now, if we had a responsible Congress, and I don't know why I even go on after a ridiculous statement like that, but if we had a responsible Congress, maybe it would get busy figuring out a way to make sure that the Don Blankenships of the world go to prison for the rest of their natural born lives when they're proven to have done what he did. But we don't have a responsible Congress. Remember, when a Republican talks about job-killing regulations, that's what the Republican's talking about. Regulations designed to keep people from getting incinerated in coal mines, those are job-killing regulations. I remember years ago now when Don Nealon, the former head football coach of the West Virginia University Mountaineers, said, gosh darn it, we need to get rid of some of these regulations so that we can be productive and mine coal like China does. Stupid bastard. But there'll be another one. And there will probably be less responsibility taken for that than there was in this. Yeah. Oh, but just by way of balancing the equation, that's one of those mathy things I learned once upon a time. Guess what? Somebody else went to court today. And you probably don't even know this dude's name. 68-year-old Donald Vidreen. Went into court, into the United States District Court in New Orleans today. Donald Vidreen was the last of a small handful of people who were actually charged with a crime in the case of the BP Horizon disaster. Vidreen was a supervisor aboard the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig. He had been charged with failing to properly conduct necessary pressure tests before the April 20th, 2010 blowout. Yeah, isn't that interesting? April 5th, 2010, the Upper Big Branch mine blew up. 15 days later, the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig blew out at the BP Macondo oil well. 29 workers died at Upper Big Branch. 11 workers died on the BP Horizon rig. The U.S. attorney down in New Orleans never even tried to go up the ladder as far as, you know, a CEO at BP. There were only 4 criminal charges against lower-level BP employees. Robert Kaluza, another rig supervisor, took his case to trial in February, and a jury just let him walk. But Donald Vidreen, aged 68, entered a plea agreement with the government, and he stood up for his sentencing today. And U.S. District Judge Stanwood Duvall accepted his plea of guilty to the negligent discharge of oil in violation of the Clean Water Act, another set of those job-killing regulations. In exchange for his plea, Judge Stanwood Duvall sentenced Donald Vidreen, whose negligence led to the deaths of 11 human beings, to 10 months probation. They had previously faced manslaughter charges, he and Kaluza, Those manslaughter charges were later dropped. Last November, engineer Kurt Mix pled guilty to damaging a computer for having tried to scrub away text and voice messages. He got 6 months probation. Too bad none of these guys were black and had a rock of crack cocaine in their pocket. Because the full weight and force of the federal law would have come down on them like a piano being dropped from a tall building. Man, that's some justice, isn't it? Hoo-wee. Nah, it's really just kind of hard to stomach. Then there's Donald Meyer. I remember covering this, talking about this story when it happened. There's a trial going on in Penn Township in Pennsylvania. 58-year-old Donald Meyer is being tried for criminal homicide for causing the death of his daughter. Testimony came out yesterday that he was being evicted. His 12-year-old daughter was standing near him when Donald Meyer threatened to go out in a hail of gunfire if he were evicted. So when Penn Township Constable Clark Steele showed up, well, Donald Meyer pointed an assault rifle at him, at which point Constable Clark Steele pulled out his weapon and shot Donald Meyer in the arm. But the bullet went through Donald Meyer's arm and buried itself in the chest of his 12-year-old daughter, who then expired. Meyer had gone around the bend, you see. And that's the buried lead in this story. Now, the constable who shot and killed the 12-year-old little girl, Sierra, he's been told to go and sin no more. Actually, he was told he didn't sin in the first place. Donald Meyer was mad. In addition to his Israeli-made Tavor assault rifle, Donald Meyer had an M4 carbine, three handguns, and 258 rounds of .223 ammunition. The buried lead is that he had been banned after an involuntary commitment to a mental hospital in 2011. He had been banned from owning firearms. You know, his Second Amendment freedom protecting rights were taken away from him. However, Donald Meyer would go to buy himself a gun, and when he filled out the forms that said, "Are you banned from owning firearms by reason of mental illness?" He checked off that box and said, why, hell no, give me my gun. Because that's all there is to it. That's the buried lead. People like Donald Meyer, who have come unglued, can get all the guns they want as long as they're willing to say, no, I'm not mentally ill. Why, heavens to Murgatroyd, no. I just want to protect my freedom. Please hand me that Israeli-made assault rifle for which I have paid you good money. Thank you, my good sir. God bless America. God bless the Second Amendment.
Wolverines.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's Missouri Stan. Did you know that you cannot advertise the sale of firearms on Craigslist anymore? You can't. Craigslist won't tolerate it. So instead, people wishing to deal in engines of death on Craigslist use euphemisms by posting things like, I have for sale, or I will trade or sell or swap for a hide a bed and $40, an item that goes bang. And then the people, they get in contact with each other and they, well, what kind of an item goes bang? Well, it's a 9mm item that goes bang. So Jake Brantner, who owned an auto body and metalworking shop in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Been to Lee's Summit. Well, Jake Brantner made a deal on Craigslist to sell an item that goes bang. And he met the buyer in a parking lot near Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. According to witnesses, the parking lot was full of Royals fans who were going to a baseball game. Lee's Summit, I am told by, Carol tells me Lee's Summit is just a stone's throw from Hooterville. Just down the road from the Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club and Mobile Home Park. But the parking lot there near Kauffman Stadium was full of Royals fans on the way to the ball game. One witness said it was surreal. Am I really hearing this? Am I really seeing this? Sir, ma'am, it's not surreal. It's murka. Brantner went to do the deal about 8:30 this past Sunday. He left his car, or his truck, parked, and his 10-year-old daughter waiting in it. And somewhere along the way, Jake Brantner got murdered. Gun deal gone bad, nobody really knows. A witness said it's terrible. His daughter has to live with this the rest of her life. And, you know, America has to live with this. You have to live with this. I have to live with this. So some paranoid, mostly pasty-faced, doughy white people can have weapons to fondle, and they can fantasize about what heroes they're going to be when the government puts its jackbooted jackboot down on their freedom-protecting, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian necks. The story notes that Missouri has some of the weakest gun laws in the U.S. and doesn't require background checks, permits, or registration to buy or sell handguns. And a 10-year-old girl doesn't have a daddy. Thanks, National Rifle Association. No, really. Thanks so much. What else? What else? By the way, about 14 minutes left in the program, and we've got about $80 to go in fundraising for the evening to come even at midweek with where we need to be. Oh, Carol tells me, and this kind of geographic information is always good. That's a bad neighborhood, and he was an idiot for going there. And it's possible that he was returning fire, or who knows? Nobody really does. But, see, firearms in the United States are liquid assets, or almost immediately liquidatable assets. You can sell a gun quicker in the United States than you can sell a solid gold coin. One last thing. Then we'll just sort of wrap up. And I'll get ready for the Malloy program. Day before yesterday, there was a great moment of freedom in Nashville, the state capital of Tennessee. The Tennessee Senate voted to make the Bible the official book of Tennessee. You know, just like the Quran is the official book of Iran or Saudi Arabia. The bill is on Governor Haslam's desk. I haven't seen an update as to whether or not he has signed it into law. He says he's got some misgivings about it, about its constitutionality, because, see, the Constitution forbids an establishment of religion. But Senator Steve Sutherland says, no, it ain't about religion. It's going to be the official book of Tennessee because it's a history book. Yeah, a history book that has talking snakes in it and a talking ass and little teenage girls who've never had sex who have babies. and a sun that stands still in the sky as it revolves around the earth. That kind of history book. They've been busy in the legislature there in Tennistan. If the Bible becomes the official state book, well, that'll be the second state thing this legislature has declared, because not too long back, the Tennessee legislature declared that the 50 caliber sniper rifle is the official state rifle of Tennistan. Yeah, I know, Gerald. Gerald says, history book. Says who? Christians? Hilarious. It's just chock full of history. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, and the walls come a-tumbling down. You know what you need? You need a state rifle and a state book. Let's see, what are some other state things in Tennessee? The official state wild animal of Tennistan is raccoon. The official state reptile is the eastern box turtle. The official Tennistan state folk dance is the square dance. The official state beverage is, no, not Jack Daniels or George Dickel's Tennessee liquor. Milk. Milk is the official state beverage of Tennistan. And by the way, it's not just any 50 caliber sniper rifle. It's the Barrett M82 sniper rifle. Because we just want to make sure that when Jesus comes back, hey, Jesus, we got your state book here and your state rifle. You want a box turtle? How about a raccoon? Oh, you can't make this stuff up, can you? Nope. Oh, and in answer to a question from Brother Deacon Asa, going back to the buckets o' pudding. Bob, I have a tactical question about Brother Jim Baker's doomsday slop buckets. Oh, don't that just... yum, yum! Once the apocalypse has taken place and bands of roving Syrian refugees have raped, looted, and disarmed Mirka, assuming one still has possession of Jim Baker's slop buckets, where would you find boiling water to reconstitute your bucket o' tater soup? Yet still, how would you refrigerate the leftovers? Or does Brother Baker assume you'll have a full bucket of slop for every meal? Well, that potato soup's going to be, you're going to be carb loading in the apocalypse. You want to load your carbs in the apocalypse there, Brother Deacon Asa. Because I'm pretty sure there's not going to get a lot in the way of protein. I mean, not even, I doubt it. Jim Baker's springing for dehydrated bacon bits. So everybody's just going to get around the slop bucket with a big old spoon, and have at it till it's gone, and probably fight over the leftovers. Oh, okay. Carol has an answer. It's already constitutionalized. Exactly. So thanks for joining in on this prayer meeting Wednesday. Here in about an hour and 5 minutes, we'll turn the lights on and fire up get the campfire going over at Malloy's joint. I hope you'll join me then as well. I don't know. Maybe it's catching on. Jack says, every once in a while, I just burst out laughing at how naturally and routinely people are adding Stan whenever a state name comes up. Well, not any state. There are particular states. Okay, good on you, Brother Deacon Asa. Danny, in Louisiana, Stan, by the way, says, I just peed my pants on Doomsday Slop Bucket. Holy fuck, I love how stupid religious people are. No. Stockton Larry asking in the chat room, can the slop bucket slop be reconstitutionalized? And even as he was typing that, because there's this whole Vulcan mind meld thing that goes on in the Horn Family Community Congregation, Carol Baker had already said to me, there is no need to reconstitutionalize. And you're right. It is. It's just certain states. Tennessee, Arkansas. You never hear Vermont Stan, although from time to time you do hear New Hampshire Stan. Texas Stan. Right. All right, everybody. Have a wonderful remainder of the evening. We'll talk again in about, an hour and 4 minutes now. Thanks for all you do to keep everything going. Thanks to everybody who's jumped in on the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society this time through. And thanks again to Harold for opening up membership again. Thank you very kindly. Like I said, about $80 to go. Have a great night. We'll talk soon. Good night, y'all.